All right, girls and boys, the pairings are done and the rounds are up.
C4 Squad presents the Rounds Are Up podcast, an AMG-focused podcast to get you gaming, chatting, learning, hanging out, and perhaps even hosting some awesome rounds of Legion, Armada, X-Wing, Shatterpoint, hobbying, and more. Very, very excited this week. We've got a bit of a semi-chaotic lineup. We have four hosts this week. We have a returning, the big man himself, the Mac Daddy, the Giant Slayer. We'll talk about that one later. Mr. Adam Brown, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me today on this podcast, Curtis. Glad to be back. It's really great to be back here with the Rounds Are Up podcast, looking to put my unique spin on everything that we've got to talk about today. We've got heaps to talk about today, Curtis. We've got multiple events. We've got Inquisitors to break down. I've got heaps. I can't wait to get going. Guess who else is here with us? We've got the Big Joel with us too, man. How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Everyone's favorite Bogan back for another podcast adventure. I'm here to recap a bit of Maitland and recap a bit of the C4 event. So, yeah, I'm pretty keen to get into it myself.
Oh, hell yeah. And rounding out the list today, we've got my neighbor, everyone's favorite Nick. Nick.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what we need.
Hang on, we need to decide this actually. I think we've got a really, really good group of guys here to make this decision. So we've had the proposal put forward by the one and only Pablo. Should we be renaming Flanders Nick Prime, seeing as he is now one of the higher qualified Nicks that currently live in Australia in 2024 as far as Legion goes? What do we think? Should we be calling him Nick Prime or stick with Flanders? What do we reckon?
I got three names.
I think Flanders is the way to go. He is my neighbor, geographically speaking. So I can't go past Flanders. Joel, what are your thoughts, mate?
Oh, mate, if I can't say diddly diddly, then I don't want to play this game. So he's the diddly, bro. He's got to stay Flanders.
There we go. Sorry, Pabs, but you've been outnumbered now, mate. That's out of five people, four people wanted Flanders to stay Flanders.
Curtis, I will walk out of this pod if we're not calling him Flanders the entire time.
I wasn't the one that suggested it. He who is not here, who has a long-deserved break from recording.
He would join the pod at my house. He would just walk out and come to my house.
And kill him.
Shuffle it on a little bit so that we don't get too sidetracked because we've got a ton of content to talk about tonight. Join our Patreon and support everything we do, guys. Link is in the bio. Please join the squad. We've already got a great group of Patreon members, our top tier gentlemen, battlers, and tabletop warriors, Geonosian Drone Cal, Sith Lord Brendan, and Joel the Mad Titan, already contribute so much and help us to grow our community, help us to support our events, and also try and push ourselves forwards and challenge what we can offer everybody. In addition to not only just this pod, but other things in person for their gaming as well. So please, if you would like to jump on, anything is welcome. Any level would be amazing.
I would like to actually thank Joel the Mad Titan, whoever that guy is. Thank you so much for supporting us. I hope to meet you in person one day, Joel. You know, reach out. Love to meet you in person. Just a big thank you to Joel and also Brendan. And Cal. Big shout out to Brendan too, brother. See you this Wednesday. Or, wait, this comes out on the Thursday, yeah? I saw you this Wednesday.
Oh, and don't forget, Brendan, if Flanders didn't give you your dice tray last night, just go around to his house and knock on the door until he answers.
What dice tray?
Because he has it.
Kill him.
Anywho. otherwise, he gets to give it to Joel.
Yep.
You can blame Flanders. He's the Amazon delivery driver that never puts it at the door. He puts it on the bloody nature strip out the front and lets anyone take it. All right, we've got some event. Flanders, can you hit us up with the events that we have coming up around the place and all of that sort of stuff?
All right, we've got first in line is we've got Clash of the Titans. What is that, number 17? 2024, it's a $60 to $70 ticket entry price on the 20th of April. And I believe that is a two-day event held out at held in Sydney.
Cherrybrook.
I thought it was Cherrybrook, and I didn't want to say the wrong suburb.
No, you got it.
All right. We also have our first X-Wing event of the year hosted by C4. It's called May the C4th. Entries are open now. It is going to be $20 a head, and it is also going to be at the Central Coast Leagues Club in Gosford, just like all our other events. Curtis?
Just going to add in, we are going to allocate a prize for the theme of the day. So people who do sign up, if you can get involved in some May the 4th celebration, either in cosplay or just the way that you spread your love of May the 4th, there will be a prize allocated to it, guys. So we're trying to get in with the theme.
Are you saying
What's
I can play
What's the reference there, May the 4th?
May the 4th? May the 4th be with you? Are you serious?
Yeah,
it's international start. You're going to have to get off this pod.
May the 4th, I don't understand it, mate. It's Revenge of the 5th is where it's at. We should have held this on Sunday.
I have a nephew being born on the 6th. I'm hoping he comes 1 or 2 days early just so that I can establish that connection really, really easy. Anyway, sorry, Nick, we digress. Back to you, mate. Sorry.
That's right. I was going to ask, does that mean I can play X-Wing all day dressed as a Gonk Droid?
Hell yeah. And if you run Gonk as an upgrade and shout it out loud every time you use it, even better.
That would be way more complicated than it needs to be.
You've said it, mate. I want to see Gonks. I want to see a Gonk Droid.
It's just a cardboard box with buttons, isn't it? With his feet sticking out the bottom.
Exactly.
Instead of saying beep boop, you should say diddly.
I don't know, episode 4. You guys remember episode 5 where off 6 where they're torturing the Gonk Droid. It's at Jabba's Palace.
That's episode
6. And like they lift the thing down on the dude's feet. It's a droid and the dude is screaming. And that's what's gonna happen to you, Flanders, if you don't wear a Gonk Droid.
You're going to come to my house straight. And you're going to force me to dress up as it and crush my feet. Yeah.
You're a feisty little one.
I'm a big guy, man. I could be Jabba and you'll be at my palace. And
holy cow. All right. So I hear there's something out in the bush going on for you, Flanders.
All right. We also have a shout out for our guys out west. We've got a event called Battle in the Bush. There is no date for it confirmed so far, but they're aiming for it to be around August or September this year. It'll be a two-day, 32-player event that's going to be run in conjunction with one of 40K's biggest events in the country. I believe MCP will also be running at that. But if you are interested, on the C4 Discord, there is Jeff Vader. I believe he has the details. He might be running it or TOing it. He is the one that has asked us for us to give him a shout-out for it. So we can get to there.
He Appreciate might be it. Running it, TOing it, playing it, not coming. We don't know. But it's going to happen. You know what I love
It'll
about
It'll be
this?
In the bush, accompanied by a bush.
I love that it's like, we haven't got a date yet. We're going to throw a flare up in the air. And when you see that flare come, orange calls for an event.
Orange calls for aid. Yeah.
It's like a typical Anakin Skywalker battle plan. Oh, I'll give you the signal. What's the signal? Oh, you'll know it when you see it.
Exactly.
Then we also have our. Sorry, you go.
No, you go, man. I'm interrupting you.
We also have our weekly Top Ride X-Wing and Shatterpoint Thursdays, as well as Games Cube in Sydney. They're also still running their Legion Thursdays. I believe their community is actually expanding well beyond their capacity of the standard 6 to 8 people that they're getting a week. So they're actually having to find another spot or run it over 2 nights during the week. So that seems to be the central hub for Legion during the week in the city.
Yeah. So what's their club name again?
Outer Rim Rascals.
All right, I'm gonna put. I'm gonna throw down the gauntlet. I'm throwing down the gauntlet to the boys. Next event we're at, it's C4 versus Outer Rim, and we'll see who comes out on top. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
You guys better start practicing. You'll see for sure who comes out on top.
Let's just say this, boys. I'm glad you guys are practicing two times a night because you got to come against the big dog next. That's all I'm saying. Joel, you got to go against Joel.
That's it. Hey, Beager tried. Beager tried at Moab, and Beager just never showed up. So
it's not even on the map anymore.
Like, yeah, it's gone. It's forgotten about.
Grilled cheese sandwiches all gone. Anyway, longest plug section we have ever had in the history of the pod. Thank you very much for Flanders being so patient with the ridiculousness that we have brought to the pod tonight.
It's being threatened with gold torture,
Multiple threats.
We're going to roast your feet.
You know what I love there, Flanders? In the plugs chat, I typed in Clash of the Titans, but it's in... I've copied it in from Facebook so that the actual text size is gigantic.
It's huge.
And you read it. You read that first. It's not even first on the list. And you read it first, mate. So I love that, like, you're like big to smallest, not like top to bottom. So I'm glad we know that from now on. And we're going to have to.
The only context I'll give is that it's the first date sequentially. That's it. I'll put that there.
Oh, I thought it was because you look for keywords first on cards. That's why.
Ooh, very nice.
Because they're always in bold. All right. Let's shuffle on to a segment that one of our guests here absolutely loves, really, really enjoys. And he's gonna take us through it.
That's right, Curtis. It is View My Unit time, and today we are viewing a brother who is quite close to my heart. It's not first, it's not second, it's fifth brother. Everyone's favorite Inquisitor. Let me break it down for you, boys, and you can give me the feedback. 105 points, you're getting a 6 health, 2 courage, force user, surge hit, dauntless, block, Enrage 2, so he's getting 2 wounds. He's now got Courage Infinity. And he's got Immune Pierce, of course. He has 5 black die on the melee offense, 3 back die for a range 2 throw. On his melee, he's got Ram 2, Impact 2, and Pierce 1. Flanders, can you give me a quick rundown on how Ram 2 now works with the Inquisitor?
So Ram 2 used to only be on Tauntauns. It was the only other unit in the game that had him. And funnily enough, in halfway through round one of our event, AMG decided to post a rules update errata for a bunch of units coming out, and potentially, not potentially, it did affect Inquisitors. And Ram 2 is now changed to, now if one of 2 conditions are met, you can gain Ram. So if a full move is executed by a notched base mini, which is going to be your Tauntauns, or if a unit leader that is of a small base performed at least one move during the same activation as an attack, you can gain Ram X.
Okay. So for the people playing at home, that means if you've taken 2 wounds on Fifth Brother, you have Enraged 2, you have Charge, and now you have Ram. So it means when you perform at least one move into an enemy, you're getting charge, you're getting ram, which is instantly 2 crits. So you roll your 5 die, you grab the 2 blank ones, and you turn into crits. And also impact 2, pierce 2. So he's a nasty thing if you can get some wounds on him. Now, I'm sure everyone knows this by now, but the Inquisitor training, this unit gains demoralized 1. When a unit within range 1 exhausts a force upgrade, you roll a red die. On paint, you cancel the effect. First of all, Curtis, from a top view level, from being high up, what do you think about Fifth Brother? Is he in every single one of your Empire lists?
I haven't played him or played against him. For me, I think I'm definitely giving him at least 6 games to see how it feels, because I think he's worth the time investment. And then I'd have to tell you after that, I just don't feel like I've got enough information to say yes, but he feels good.
Okay. So we've got six games there from Curtis. Joel, how many games are you giving him? Let's get a bet going.
As soon as I get him, I'm going to play him. He's just too cost efficient for what he does. Like, it's almost half a Vader, and I get a force push. It's just and a shutdown. So it's like having push and a half. I will definitely be playing him.
Flando?
I think he has a potential. I think the fact that he's actually six health and then all he has to do is to take two wounds to be infinite courage. He's one wound shy of operative Vader in terms of health block-wise.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But his melee, the fact that he just becomes an absolute charging menace is something to be feared. Also, at the same time, the only two games I've had against him, I've just stuck up a standby wall and just shot him off the board before he got into me. So I think it's 50-50 on, for me, whether he's good or not. But I think it takes time for a new model to be able to be figured out.
Yeah. We're going to get into a bit of an Inquisitor breakdown. We did run him at our last event, Imperial March, and I asked all the people who played the Inquisitors and all the people who played against the Inquisitors to give me a bit of a breakdown. So we will bring him up a little bit later. I think on the tin, I think he's definitely worth trying. Inquisitorious training seems great. O push seems incredible on him when we get into his battle cards, and obviously force push as well. He's there for objectives, and I think for 120 points after you kid him out a little bit, 125 points after you kid him out a little bit, to win you a game just, you know, from a force push, it's pretty good. I'm going to give him, Curtis, I'm going to give him five games. There you go.
Honestly, expecting you to say I rate him 5 out of 7. Yeah, the perfect opportunity for that.
Yeah, I think
4 wounds out of 6.
Okay, can I just throw something back at the group then? Must you run him with Seven Sister as well, or do you think he's okay to have on his own? Adam,
two force pushes are better than one.
I think you run them both together. For sure.
Yep.
You run them both together.
Yep.
Nick,
they're brother and sister.
I'd say that you'd run them both together. I think if you run, realistically, if you're going to run only one, you'd run probably fifth brother, not seventh sister. But I think you'd be stupid to not run both.
Right. Yeah. That was the last thing I wanted to say. Now, I think we can do the rest later on, can't we, Adam? Or you got more?
Now, Nick. Did you say you could run fifth brother over seventh sister because five is before seven in like when you're counting to 10? Is that the same thing from before coming through? Like,
yes.
Like Nick. Nick's always sorting everything like descendingly or ascendingly.
Doesn't he also have more wounds than her as well? Isn't she only 5 wounds?
Yeah.
Nick, my gosh, we've gotten onto it. Okay.
We found it, mate.
Oh, no. How much does she cost in terms of points?
I think she's 5.
Can we, are we able to pivot to a little event that happened up in Maitland? I'd love to ask Joel some questions about it.
Only not
to answer some.
Awesome. Joel, welcome to Maitland Minute, where I'm going to ask you some questions about your Maitland event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as someone who has run events in the past, like I am really passionate, actually, and really focused on every event we run. So I always love talking to people about their events. So let's just pretend these other two aren't here. Just calm down, take a deep breath, and let's get into it.
Sounds.
How did you? Oh yeah. So how did you kind of get into being the forerunner or being the like hype man for the event?
I guess I just kind of assumed the role because there wasn't anyone doing it. Like I've been pretty much running Maitland for like since I started playing Legion back in August of 2021. I started on my own, and then I met Jared, and Jared's happily retired. So he's missed but retired. So it's still falling on me. So I'm just kind of that vein. I don't want to be the guy that whinges he can't get a crack, but I want to have a crack and see what I can do. And if I get a few people coming to play, then I'm and there's people out there that know where we play and that there's somewhere to play. So I just took the role on myself because no one was doing it. So I thought, why not? Like everyone needs someone to do it. So why not do it?
Yeah, 100%. Did you kind of come across anything that, and I know it was a smaller event, so everyone knows, like, what do you tell everyone a little bit about the actual event itself and, like, some of the other ones that you've run as well?
Well, this was probably, my second or third one. I'm starting to lose track, but we obviously, the marry up with the C4 event being a week later didn't help. That was my bad. I should have spoke to you guys a bit better. Boys can't really get two weekends off in a row, so I did lose a few plays with that and had a few drops on the day. I had a few new players that were umming and ahhing. I was just trying to chinwag their reader to get them to turn up. But it was a bit disappointing, to be honest. Like, we had that big 19-player event where everyone turned up, and it was good to see. And we got some feedback, which was positive and negative, which I've been working on, just trying to get the store up and running and everyone else to get involved. But, like, it's a work in progress, and, like, I'm still learning myself. Like, I'm trying to get, I've made, like, a resolution this year to put more of an effort in, like, jump on the socials, like, just put the photos up weekly, like, let people know that we exist. So that's where I'm at with it at this stage.
It's so hard with the weekly groups. Like, as people don't know, and I've just noticed as well, we're not plugging at all in our top plugs, boys. But every Wednesday we have a group of war gamers at the Central Coast Leagues Club where we actually host our events. And just, it's the consistency, especially when we're a group of dads. And we've kind of got this rule of we never, like, have a whinge if someone has to bail last minute. And it's a really nice little thing to know, like, hey, yeah, they're dads, we're dads, we can kind of do that. But so, yeah, I feel your pain with growing the group, and I think you've actually done really well just by hosting or just by putting your hand up and doing it, because no one else does that. It's so rare to find people to be like, yeah, I'll have a crack. And yeah, you're right. The only reason that I couldn't make it was because we had that event the next week, and I'm sorry about that. And yes, maybe we should plan better together, Joel. That's what this whole segment's about. It's just me going, fucking plan better. So, like, how do you... One question for you, like, that I always struggle with is how do you balance the interest of, like, the casual gamers and the competitive players?
I think at this stage we don't really have much of that competitive players. Like, realistically, we get a few messages that say we're in the area, where can we play? Like, we might get some guys were practicing for CanCon, and I'm like, well, come on down Wednesdays. There's a few of us down there anyway. Predominantly it's me and Ken. Sometimes we get Sam pops in. But yeah, I don't really have that challenge at this stage just because of the lack of numbers. But when they do turn up, it is a good change of pace for myself and obviously for Ken, because Ken's stuck playing me every week and I'm stuck playing Ken every week. So I'm pretty sure he's not too excited about having to face down some stupid list I've concocted and deal with the repercussions of it. But
having to face down the champion, I'm sure, mate. Like,
self-entitled, but still titled. That's the main thing.
You mentioned before feedback. How do you gather that feedback, and what do you kind of do with it?
Well, predominantly, it's asking questions. I'm currently working on some sort of, like, survey feedback I stole from your guys' idea, like how you, after your events, you have, like, your hyperlink, things like that. I'm just trying to, like I said, this is my first ever war game I've ever played. I'm a happily retired Magic the Gathering player, so I just, if I can learn from little bits here, little bits there, but mostly verbally. I just ask the boys and just don't take it personally, and just tell me what you want to see, what you don't want to see. So at this stage, like, I'm working on a players pack. I'm working on the survey. I've got a table I'm painting and a table on the way. I'm just trying to provide I'm just trying to create a community, and it's just... It's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to happen. So I just got to keep persevering. My one big thing is don't ever take it personal. Like, if you run an event and two people show up, man, just have the event, have a good time. Like, and we did, we had a good time. And that's what happened on that event. We had four blokes. I dragged one of my new guys I've been teaching how to play, lives down the road from me. I got my little Flanders up here now. So I've been teaching him the ropes, and I picked him up and I dragged him in and said, get in here and play, mate. So he lost three games, but he had a burner of a time. So it's just about that. And then his dad wants to learn, and then his mate's coming over to learn. So now I'm teaching three of them. So now, you know, I'll eventually get there. I'll drag them all in.
Yeah, you'll have bigger tournaments now. So well done.
Kicking and screaming.
One thing too, and this goes for any gaming group. If you want help, steal our player packs, steal our sign-up forms. We'll give them to you. We'll copy them and give them to you. Like, just use our stuff, because we've spent so long running events. I think it's been, like, close to 4 years running events altogether. We've learnt the dumb lessons. We've made the really bad mistakes. C4 is a group of people who, like, we are so willing to share our stuff. You know, whether it's our, you know, if we've got a little bit of money to share, a little bit of equipment to share, or a little bit of just expertise. So before job, when you're like, oh, I'm thinking about getting a player pack and get sign up for, use ours, man. Happy to do it. And obviously always happy to help in any way that we can. And that's with any gaming group anywhere. So that's the kind of like my idea of what I want C4 to become, is like the hub of people who want help running an event. Because I don't want to run them all the time. Curtis doesn't want to run them all the time. Flanders doesn't want to run them all the time. Pablo, he wants to run them all the time. He's not here tonight. I can say whatever I want about him. Like he's keen as. He's like, yeah, another one.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's almost like he's crack, really.
Yeah.
It's not so much opening crack. The plastic. It's the event. The event is what gets him high.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Joel. Thank you for letting me put you on the stand there. Let me make you run the gauntlet.
You're right, mate.
Hopefully the next event will tee up a bit better timing, and I'll be able to make it. I'll be able to come win some Legion event.
Well, you can try.
So guys, it's a Saturday. You've just played at your Maitland tournament. 1 week later, it's C4's Imperial March, C4's first event of the year. And Flanders Nick stepped up to run it. Nick, how are you tonight, mate? Welcome to Flanders Minute. Flanders Minute for the Imperial March Minute. Imperial March Minute. Nick, break down the day, mate. How was it?
It was good. I had a great time. I'm an incredibly anxious person, so the day leading up to it, I was just incredibly nervous, but I didn't really have anything to worry about, because people that have come to the events, and I think most of the people that came to that event, if not everyone that came to that event, has been to a C4 event before, so they know what to expect, including me. So I knew what to expect, having watched you and Dan and Curtis run in the background before. So I knew the skeleton of how to get it going and whatever, but I think everyone had a good time. We had 16 players turn up. We did have an initial cap of 20, and we did have 20, but unfortunately life gets in the way, and we did have a few people drop beforehand, so we got it down to 16, but I think it was good.
No, it was, and look, 16 is a great number, and I quite like running 16 because you get two winners after three rounds, whereas any more than 16, there's a good chance you're having three undefeateds after two rounds. So I quite like 16. 16 is a great number. Curtis, young Curtis, what was the breakdown for the event? What were people playing?
Alrighty. So zero Shadow Collective, as it should be, because according to the Banish Wookiee, they're not a faction, so they can bugger off. They're a battle force. we had three Rebels, six Empire, four Republic, and three Separatists. We had in our republics, we had four different main commanders. So not the clone commander, but different named commanders. So we had a Yoda, a Chewie, an Anakin, and an Obi-Wan across four lists. None of them were the same. So there was an Anakin list with a saber, and I think the other one was a Yoda list with a saber, in terms of saber tank, sorry, I mean. And then the Chewie one was a battle force, and Obi-Wan, well, Joel might be able to tell us more about his Obi later. The Rebels, we had amongst their three, we had a Cassian double air speeder. I played against that one. It was fun. Had an Ewok, Bright Tree Village, Endor battle force going, and then an Echo base with a single pizza, not a double pizza. I don't think there was two. I think Adam just got excited about the idea of eating pizza. Now I feel like pizza. Separatist ran, we had Seppies, three of them. So we had one ran experimental droids. One was a Poggle B2 spam, was our man Adam Brown himself. And then the other was a failed YouTube video by Stephen Gibb. coming to Empire. The failed YouTube video is because he used a YouTube video as his list.
As his title. List name.
I reckon we should start.
I watched it. That was pretty good, actually. Doing. I quite liked
no,
it.
No, I turned it off in the first 20 seconds. I couldn't do it.
It was all about BX droids. Well done. Well done.
It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Empire, most present faction there, was 6. It was roughly what we thought, Flanders and myself and Pabs going in, was that Empire probably would have the strongest showing. And I think it lent itself because of the fact that we did allow the proxying of Inquisitors. And big shout out to Matt Ollett, who didn't even run Inquisitors himself. He printed out proxies for everybody, which was amazing. So we had 4 Inquisitor lists, which was great. Meant that a quarter of the competition were running Inquisitors, meant everyone got a chance to experience them and know them. AT-ST Blizzard Force with Veers. Mr. Flanders himself ran that one. And then we had somebody with Darth Vader and Royal Guards that did not guard and Shores with their mortars.
Yeah, I play that game too. Somebody.
Do you know Royal Guards have Guardian? I had to tell him all the time. He's like, oh, yeah, they do too.
You got a reminder from 6 people every round across the whole floor.
Now, but how often do people fall victim to that? Like, so many people who are not used to a keyword just forget it, and it happens. And at least
I think
everyone
it'd been
was
a whole minute since he played Legion, to be fair. I think that's why.
Yeah, that's fair. And Guard is not one of those things you think about.
Yeah.
Let me just quickly shout out our top 3 guys. Matt Ollett, congratulations on winning the event. He was our 3-0. Steve Gibb and Adam Brown both went 2 wins and 1 draw. Thank you, Steve, for the honourable draw that we had together. I had to leave early because of a family emergency. So that was our top 3. Joel, how did you go? What were your win-loss rate, mate?
Oh, I went 2-1.
Oh, mate, it's always great to go positive. Yeah, it's always good to go positive, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Felt really good. Yeah. Yeah. Nick, what was your win rate, mate?
I went 1-2.
Oh, not positive then, you know? Like, yeah, I thought you were a podcast host, mate. Like, here you are. Here are the 2 guests. The 2 guests on this week, mate, have beaten you. Oh, okay. Curtis, I'm guessing you went 3-0, mate.
Yeah, reverse that one. But
what did you end up with? What was your win loss? How
0.
Many games did you win?
Oh, got the 3rd highest kill points out of the whole competition, though.
Did you?
I knew how to kill stuff. Oh, all my games were tight as hell, though, which was the shame. A lot of it was just mistiming, which was where I shot myself in the foot. But I'm playing a faction I've never played before. It's only
he
the
was the highest
time.
Placed Anakin.
So yeah, I was. I was the highest placed.
Wasn't that the only Anakin? Hey, Joel.
Yes.
Joel and Nick. I was thinking we actually go through Curtis's list and rip it to shreds. Yeah. What do you guys think? Should we do that?
Yeah. I couldn't think of
anything
better.
Let's start off, guys. Okay, we've got 2
I was
commands.
Just trying to have some fun.
We've got Anakin and we've got Clone Commander. Now, I think Clone Commander is spec'd out correctly. Improvise orders. Yeah, okay, that's okay. And portable scanner. Fantastic. Nothing to whinge about there. He's obviously portable scanning to Anakin. Yeah? Is that right, Curtis?
I can see that.
Yep. Dodge portable scanner.
Times to the saber tank. Depends on position of Anakin, if he's diving or not.
Okay. And we've just come across our first problem. And we've got Anakin. He's got saber throw, force push, and offensive stance. I'm guessing defensive stance. Now, saber throw is interesting. Joel, would you be saber throwing here or would you be barrying here?
Oh, if you're playing the tank, it's 100% barrier.
Yeah. Then we've got phase 1 clones with the Z6 and boil. RPS 6 and boil. Correct combo. A clones phase 1 with 5s and a close phase 2 with mortars. We've got 2 arcs. We've got one of them, both strike teams. One of them with just the DC-15. Fantastic. One of them echo. Great. And then we've got the saber tank with beam cannon. Flanders, where can you see some choices that could be made differently in this list?
I mean, I'm the person that liked to run ATSTs just for shits outside of Blizzard Force just because I wanted to. So I can't understand Curtis's appeal for wanting to run big plastic tank on table, go forward, beam stuff. I can understand that. But I wouldn't run a saber tank. Or I wouldn't. I'd run a naked saber and not take the beam cannon.
Yeah. Can you walk us through the beam cannon there, Curtis?
Okay, so theoretically, to me, it was more shots equals more fun, more dice, etc., right? For me, I'm using Anakin's offensive stance early and using the tank to block him so he doesn't need the defense, and I'm using the portable scanner to get the defensive tokens out. The reason for that is I can use those aims on the beam after he gets his exemplar in to be able to chip damage strike teams who are further down the field, because I don't have to be, I don't have to have that perfect shot on them, and I don't want to waste an 8-dice shot on a strike team. I waste the 8-dice shot on something else and then beam over to the strike team. So when I played at GamesCube, my beam went really, really well. I've only lost out of 6 games, I've only lost the Saber Tank twice from the pitch. In total, points-wise, this list, over 6 games, I've lost less than 1,000 points from this list. Over 6 games.
It's because of clones.
How many games you won?
Kill.
I've won two out of 6 games I won.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
But I've not lost more than 1,000 points. I've done over 3,000 points worth of damage. So it's more my objective play, not so much my attack.
Yeah, I think your tank survives because it's not a threat with the beam. It's not a threat.
Yeah, it's not a threat. It's pointless with the beam.
It's high energy. Heavy cover. You just crit vision.
Before, when you said... I'm not running it again.
No, but let's
I've got a new list in mind.
Break it down for people so they can understand.
Let's break it down.
I think you guys are right. I think when I sat there and looked at it, the tank was, while it's something I really enjoy running, like it is great fun to run. Admittedly, I never use it to its full capability because being an AT-ST user, someone who really enjoys using vehicles full stop, I forgot that it could strafe. I never strafed.
A lot of people forget it can strafe.
That eliminated a lot of maneuverability, a lot of potential possibilities for me as well. So that wasn't great in its own. I think, like you guys were saying before, if you take out the tank and replace it with what is probably more proper to have there, like one ATST and then upgrade a strike team to an actual full team or something like that, ATRT, sorry, just to get that cover to get you up close, then you're probably getting closer to a perfect list. The Saber Tank is like what I'd call my flavor. I was thinking about high energy shells instead as a Jedi tech, anti-Jedi tech. Anti-force tech, sorry, just to bypass dodges and deflects, etc. So, yeah.
Can I cut in there? So, yes, high energy shells is the right choice. You're getting more bang for your buck. Because the problem with beam is, especially in this meta, and we'll just try and explain it more for the listeners, Curtis, not for you, but beam is 2 dice in a heavy cover meta. So you are theoretically crit fishing at that stage. So before, when you're like, oh, I'm going against strike teams, well, a lot of strike teams have, what's the keyword where you can knock, yeah, you know, it's cover 3. They've got cover 3.
Low profile.
Yeah. So you are really crit fishing there at that stage. Even if they're in light cover, they're in heavy cover. So so it's not actually great against that. Where a saber tank with the high energy shells is the same amount of dice. You're actually adding on a white die, but you're adding in like critical. It still has cycles, so you can still move and things like that. And you could really place that. You could be obnoxious and place it right in the front of your enemy with the rest of your troops behind it and actually use that force barrier and actually use those double dodges from Anakin to keep it to keep it alive as long as you can while the rest of your troops get into position for the objectives. So I think there is merit here with it. That's the major change I would get rid of. I'd actually probably think about getting rid of maybe a phase 2 and actually replacing it, if that was your tactic, replacing it with a very little seen clone engineer, or you've got access to R2-D2. Like he's got repair 2. You could easily get rid of that extra strike team out of there and run R2-D2 to just and like really go offensive on that tank. Boys, yeah. What do you guys think, Joel?
I'd be more inclined to put the boil on the phase twos and put protector on there for that extra bit of crit protection. RPS is good. Like, I understand you're running the saber throw and you don't want that saber throw RPS, but I think with the tank and Anakin, you've got enough impacts and pierce to deal with that. So I'd definitely drop a Z6. Z6 is just, I would definitely get the DC-15 with the captain. It's so much better. Just getting that two red crit one, even just a fire support with those two extra red dice, and on a sniper, you turn back a crit one back on, you could do some more damage with that. The Z6 is just a slot machine. It's just not. I just don't think point wise it's worth it. But I would definitely put ball on the
And actually pairing fives, if you're going to invest the 40 points in fives, pairing him as well with a clone specialist for 11 more points to guarantee that aim for that big shot you're going to do is really nice as well. And look, obviously, like the list you've gone for there as well is you really want to be giving out those extra orders to the phase ones and things like that. But yeah, I think it can actually do something. Probably just goes into being really obnoxious with that saber tank while the rest of the troops kind of get up and playing into that a little bit more. But no more beam cannon, Curtis. No more. Naughty beam gone.
I've got something else in my pocket. But we'll talk about it later because there's actually a double thing coming up beam. Later on that we can talk about. Double and saber. I can bring up something I'm thinking about.
Before the next event, I think we should all like criticize. I mean critique Curtis's list and like bully him into something else.
none of you will like my list anyway, and then you'll all tech against it in case you play against it, especially Joel, because it still hasn't happened yet.
Start winning.
Hey, you and I both lost round one, thank you very much.
That's right, we did. I lost to Mitch in round one, and then that was it after that.
Yeah,
that was it.
I think, can I just touch on something? I want to ask you guys a quick question regarding playing Galactic Republic, right? So obviously it's a very patient faction. So for the people listening at home, it's one of those factions where, you know, you, especially if you're running Anakin, you don't want to dive in too fast because you want Anakin at full power by the end of round three at the earliest and round four at the latest. So that he can, you know, do his thing so everyone else can then scatter and do their thing if they have to. What are your tips and tricks for people running Anakin or Gar in general, which is more of a patient token sharing group, like, you know, murder ball of troops? What's your sort of advice for making sure you keep your timing right and keep your eye on the prize being objective points rather than the slaughter of your opponent? Because it can be difficult getting caught up on that attrition thing, especially with people who haven't played a lot of it and get that bloodthirstiness as soon as they like start decimating someone with big shots. What would be like your one like key point that you would share with them? Let's start with Adam.
Dodge, dodge, dodgety, dodge, 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 dodgety, dodge, 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 dodge.
It's not what I asked. I asked how to time objective play. Like what would you try to do to make sure you don't forget or to make sure that you do properly engage with objectives? Is there anything, any little tips or tricks that like are across the board that you can think about? Or
like genuinely, you need to know how many moves it will take to touch or be in range one of an objective, depending on obviously on what it is. So if you're bringing and with your objectives, Curtis, you had a tank, you had eight activations and one of them is a tank. So let's just break down a couple of things. You only can do a 7-unit intercept. You got 7 units to do an intercept. You can only do a 7-unit recover the supplies. You can only do a 7-unit sabotage the moisture vaps. So already with three of the objectives, you are an activation down. So in those games, with an intercept game, there is no reason for me to kill your tank at all. If you're versing my list, which has 9 acts, there's no reason for me to be aggressive at all until the last round. Because I know, like, I could move up 8 units into the middle and one at the back objective, and guess what? I've won. You can't do a thing about it. Even if you force push someone out, you can't do a thing about it.
Yeah.
Same with key positions and sabotage the Watch Evaporators, not so much, but your list, everyone had a lot of points on them. So what you're saying there is, all right, well, and I'm not picking on your list, but this, obviously we're talking about...
No. This is what we need to figure out.
With your list, you don't have probably like Gar, maybe the Gar captain a little bit, but not really, because he wants to be close to Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
They all need to be around each other. So now Vaps isn't good. What was your... Can you remember what objectives you actually did play?
I think I did play those ones. Give me 2 seconds and I'll let you know. Because my list was Joel made me do it, because Joel actually helped me build the list. So it was key positions.
He's not your friend.
Sad and hostage. So from experience,
so
the
so key what, positions what, what ones out. Did you actually play?
So on the day...
First game you played Payload.
You versus Nick Bennett, Payload. So Payload's a pretty good one for you. I'm actually surprised you lost that one.
Nick played.
What happened? Right.
he held me up on a really, really vital round, and that was pretty much it. I think it was round 4, was it, Nick?
It was end of turn 4. I moved my bikes into a position that stopped yours and moved mine.
Yeah,
and that was they were at the key point of crossing each other's path, and you couldn't shoot the bike off it. So then the next turn, I did a 90-degree turn behind heavy cover and a line-of-sight blocker so you couldn't move. My payload moved off into 2 points and yours didn't score one.
Touching on that, Nick piloted his bikes like an ace. He did a really good job on his bikes.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because the deployment is disarray. So who chose disarray?
It was my deck. I chose disarray.
I can't remember who vetoed to it. I think I might have to force him to split, I think.
Yeah. So
it was hemmed Payload... in disarray, and you got rid of hemmed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Payload was no good for you because you were blue, yeah.
Yep.
So disarray for clones, pretty much what I said before, you've taken, it's now 7, and how many activations did you have, Nick?
9.
Yeah. So it's now 7 versus 8 because one activation is on the wrong side, right?
Hmm.
So you're already down. You're down even more there. And that's going to be a problem moving forward. And one of you can't, fire support with them. They can't be part of the clone ball. They can't be part of the team. So disarray is probably bad. Payload's a good one, though, because you have a very large tank base. And that can get in the way of payloads. So a nice little move turn 2 would have been to double move the tank right there in front of the payload. He can't, because payload is just about how many times you can move, right? And even if he had to move, he's now having to move around the payload.
Yeah.
So you had a few options there. What do you think, Joel?
Yeah, no, you made the right choice not playing payload on hemmed in, because that's an auto loss if you're a red player. It's hard to go back to because you don't know what the veto you guys were, but like Adam said, disarray as a clone is horrible. When you want to be together, you're pretty much down an activation, and Nick's can just put a bike over there and triple move, and the bike's back in the fight, and your guy's never going to be in the fight, or he could just kill that guy and just tie the game up, and you're behind on kill points as it is.
We should do like a veto episode where we just keep bringing up random decks and we just keep vetoing them. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm down for that. So
second game, recover the supplies. And again, we don't know what you veto, we don't know what you chose, but here you're now saying, okay, at least one of my units is now not part of the fight. He's off doing an objective. He's off tapping. And in a game where you've got 8 units who can do 2 actions each for 6 rounds, doing my own mental math, that's 96 actions in total. And 8 of them are now taken up doing the VAP. And if your opponent had 9 activations, then he's already ahead of you. And you can only and your tank can't VAP. So, you get the balance there. That's what I'd be thinking about. Yeah,
he had double air speeder in that one. and Cassian's high velocity, etc., really hurt the tank, and Pierce, etc. So the tank was out pretty quick. I made him flee with his T-47s. The recover, though, and this is why I brought up the idea of, you know, how clones play, I significantly forgot you have to use an action to pick up the actual supply. So I left it so that I was literally one action, not one turn, one action short of being able to win that game. So I could double move and be touching three supplies, but I couldn't pick them up because I just misjudged that. I didn't pre-measure properly, and I didn't pre-meditate that final round properly was the problem. And that's where I fell short. That hurt me bad.
And also with clones, a nice little trick is if you are going for that center VAT or center resupply, having your units around all dodged up. So when that unit dives in, grabs that box, you know, everyone's got to dodge, or jumping the tank in front of it, you know, getting your units in position, jumping that tank in front of it, it's going to tank the shops. You grab that metal one and you shoot off. So anyway, the third game, and again, this is another one, you had intercept. So again, you're down to seven scoring units. And that's an important thing to think of when you are playing vehicles, is that you really want to be first player. You really want your objective deck, because the vehicle better be able to be part of that, or you know, you're already at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where clones...
Well, the vehicle in that one, I used it to block out about a third of the range one around the center objective. So I did use the vehicle the way I think I should have used it. I prevented them from being able to get in there. So I made them come the long way around, which also then gave me cover from long shots from a large portion of their army. That one ended up a bloodbath in the middle, and it did come down to some really, really pivotal dice rolls, which went one result slightly the different way. No one rolled any, like, I rolled well, but my opponent rolled well too. So it was just one of those ones where we both rolled, you know, high percentage variance at the same time as each other rather than alternating. So yeah, it was a great game, but I don't think there was anything I could have done different that game. I felt like I played it as textbook as I could with the list I had, but yeah. That's why I'm shuffling onto a new list, because I think the six games I got over the first 3 months of the year, I think is enough to tell me about that list, what I need to know. Now I can move on to another archetype and figure out where I sit with the next one.
I think too, also, going back to that game too, with recover, you're like, Curtis was at 800. So realistically, being red plate, you could have just picked up your two and just waited for them to take that middle box and kill something, because you win
tie. Yeah, true.
There is that option as well. But having a huge tank, and the only real defense tech you got is Anakin's token share, and it might go down, and you're going to lose that on the points. But there was also that option as well. Like, I can understand you might have thought that as well, like treating it a bit like Sabs, where you'll win the tiebreaker, but like it's still a six turn game, and it depends on your deployment. If you're too close, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, see, I was looking at it. I didn't look at it quite that way. I looked at it as if I keep Anakin close enough to the middle, he can, you know, hopefully throw a saber throw at the start of his activation with a fire support, kill the person in the middle that maybe picks it up from the other person, other team, during round six. And then I dive in the unactivated clone unit that I had waiting around the corner of a building out of line of sight to pick it up, because they were able to make that range, that speed two move, and still have the action to pick it up. So I had focused on the middle objective like that, but about the other bloody ones. So yeah, I think I was too focused, and I just got blood in the water and just went for the kill points as opposed to actually the objectives. And yeah, just sunk to me how important it is to just never lose track. But yeah, shuffling on.
So let's now ask our competent Republic player, Joel. What was your list, and how'd you play it?
Well, I was running ADAX as well. I was running ADAX clones, Obi-Wan with push barrier, protector and vigilance. I had a Padme with vigilance. I had a clone commander with improvised orders. I had three phase twos with mortars and medics and situational awareness. I had one phase one of RPS and an Echo Strike team with no upgrades. I was 800 on the SNOS. So mine was a very, very, very defensive list.
Now, Joel, you said a name, Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's yes. a name I've not heard of in a long time.
Well, I feel
tell me why.
Well, I want to put this on the record. If you listen to the fabulous Rounds Are Up podcast, when I was interviewed after my glorious Moab win, I did say that I was going to be playing with Obi-Wan. So I am not an LVO bandwagon jumper. I've been playing Obi-Wan since October last year.
Did you go back and listen to that episode just to make sure that you cited yourself correctly and you didn't screw it up? Like, that felt awfully rehearsed.
No, to be honest, I do listen to my podcast when I'm on, because when you're on, bro, I just feel like I want to listen to a winner. I'm just not getting that from you. So I listen to my podcast.
Come to X-Ray.
So I need inspiration. So I listen to me, you know. Oh. You can't love anyone else unless you can love yourself, mate. That's the main thing. But back to my list. So the whole idea, obviously, Jared got me onto it. Like when I used to play with Jared, like at Maitland, he would Obi-Wan shenanigans, and then when the new rules dropped, how he was shutting down high velocity, and then the protector changed to, because protector is worded that he treats crits as hits, so you can actually dodge a crit with his guardian. It's just, I thought it was good for the meta, because at the time Gar is like top of the meta, and the one thing that kills Gar is high velocity and pierce, and Obi-Wan just says high velocity and pierce doesn't matter. So that was where I was at with that.
What is something you'd change up about your list, or is it perfection?
I would probably look at, I think my main problem obviously is my four core are all cumbersome. Three mortars and the rocket are cumbersome. The main thing, I did toil with Boyle there for a while, but I found like Obi-Wan just take a wound and dodge it. Toil with Boyle, it rhymes there. But I went with the medic. Boyle. I would probably, I'm going to probably drop two of the phase twos and make them into the DC captains. And I had extra points. That's why. So I'm running two copies of Vigilance, but I feel like it's a bit overkill. So I probably will drop one copy of Vigilance, and I'll probably throw the Inspire card on someone, just because my main problem with the DC is that one suppression just sucks. You if you don't roll it off and they're not fire supporting, you're 9 times out of 10 going to get one action. And it did come into play. Like most of my army was courage too, except one call. So it actually done really well for the games.
A nice little trick, and a very not well known trick, is, and I understand Obi-Wan's courage 3, but you can actually place Inspiring Presence on Padme, and your units will use her courage as well.
We learned that with old Jackie Parks, pulled that out at CanCon last
year. Yeah, he read the rules. He knows what they are.
He's a good man.
He's a good man. Shout out to you, Jack.
Unlike the rest of us illiterate folk who can't read the rules.
Yeah, so a few more tweaks, mate. A few more tweaks for me, but I'm fairly happy with how the list plays.
And was it all about just being defensive about like dodge?
Yeah, so first turn, pretty much, depending on the situation, whether it was on the objective, Padme's 3 pip was pretty much always either first play. Either I get the extra surge, which wasn't overly needed because I had 4 surges, because I had 3 phase 2s and an echo, and then the clone commander had Bolsa 2. But it was also there for the secret mission, so if we had, like, that was good for tiebreakers. But the majority is spend the first turn getting dodges, and then that was pretty much it. I don't lose models. I think over my we'll discuss my third game, because it was an absolute bloodbath that took about 13 seconds. But over the two games, I lost an Echo Strike team and maybe 2 models out of a phase 2 out of 2 games. That was the defense tech worked. Let's just say that.
Oh, very good. What about you, Nick? What did you run? Vader list did you run?
I didn't run a Vader list. That's the thing. ran an AT-ST Blizzard list with Vs.
That's filthy.
No,
that's
hang on. What did you have with the ATST and Viz? Sorry. You had a couple of other things that were really freaking potent too.
Oh, four speed bikes. Four units of speed bikes, so eight speed bikes.
Which you used really, really well. That ATST is a great distraction.
Oh, yeah. I just like running the ATST as a centerpiece model. Honestly, that's the only reason I play. I wanted to play Blizzard Force for ages, and I'm not confident with running Commander Vader, so I choose to run an ATST variant also because I like running the model. But I ran Viz with Improvised and Electro Binox. I ran two HIUs with the DLT and the RC97. So I had a lot of range 4 shots, not much impact though. And I was running four speeder bikes, all with emergency transponders, and then the ATST fully equipped out with the Hammer Pilot and all the weapons. So that was the go with that list.
Yeah, it was a good list. It went well. Like we got each other round one, and that was a nice game to start the day off with because we haven't played each other yet.
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't played you before. I ended up going 1-2. First game was the win with the payload stall against Curtis.
That's all that matters, mate.
Second game. Oh yeah!
Glad I assisted in you not finishing.
All that matters.
It's like three wins. That's three wins.
If you go 1-2, as long as that one is Custer's bro, that's a win.
Do you know what's going to be funny as hell? All this crap about me not doing so great, and then like the biggest win streak I get will be if I play Joel, and all of a sudden everyone just goes, "Okay, well, where's this been the whole time?" And then I go back to getting my ass kicked again, but Joel was the only time I peaked.
Nah, mate. Joel's beaten everyone on the admin team. You're next.
You're lucky last, mate. You're lucky.
All right. So you had an easy game first game, Nick. Yeah, what was round? Who was round two? Yeah, by round.
Round two was our good friend Steve Gibb. I've never actually versed Steve easy before. Win. Easy win for him, yeah.
Failed YouTube video.
I've not had good experiences running against Experimental before. I've never versed Steve before, but he did tell me straight off the bat, I deployed my bikes super wide on major offensive. I put him in the back corner of my deployment, and I was just going to do a long flank around the outside of the board to come in at the right time to try and... because we're playing KP, I was going to try and come in towards the end of round five and six to try and hit him. But he saw that I was delaying them because I was only doing a compulse move, a speed three, and then I was dodging just so I wasn't moving that fast. And then so then he just moved his whole experimental droid forward onto the middle KP, and I was like, I can't do anything about that. And he just kept coming to me. So and my bikes were two turns out of the way, and I asked him straight up. I think it was turn three. I was like, what should I have done different with this, because you're walking towards me and the bikes are over there. He's like, you should have just ran your bikes either straight in at the same time as moving your ATST forward and bringing your HIUs forward to hit me because I was walking forward, or you literally just turn your bikes around and then come and reinforce where I'm going to be walking to. But I kept continuing that direction and they just got shot off the board.
Yeah.
So
didn't change the plan.
Yeah, my timing with my bikes has always been hard. I always either stag them in awkwardly because the ranges aren't right, or I get one unit in that's a bit too close and they get shot off before the rest of the three actually get to come in as well. So that's my downfall playing Blizzard in particular, is that I don't have that many reps with it, but the bike timing is the hardest thing for me. Curtis.
Mate, your bike timing in our game was really good. If you can like think back to the way you played them there, because I remember I consulted with Adam when I was thinking about playing Blizzard and quad bike unit. He showed me a couple of videos about how to stall but still be really, really ready. And what you did when you played me reminded me of that mentoring I got from Adam regarding that stuff. So that was really, really good, the way you played your bikes there. You stalled it really well, you timed it really well, but you kept moving towards the objective and what you had to do.
Yeah, Joel.
And
I think the main thing too with experimental droids, from my experience, obviously the power in that list is from the full commandos, and only taking 2B1s and 2B2s. If they're not taking Magnus, the max impact they're going to have, if they have the rockets and the hard guns, you're looking at 8 impact per round. I think they struggled to deal with decently heavy armor. And I think if you really push that ATST and then flank from behind, you probably would have had more of a chance, I think.
Especially the B2s. They'll melt in front of the ATST if you can get an Arsenal 2 shot off on one unit of B2s.
Adam does not agree.
B2s are just absolute dog trash. I don't know who would run them.
Okay. Yes, Curtis.
Yes, people who can't play other lists.
There's not
Brian, round three, I see, Nick, you got our good friend Josh Smith.
Yep, Smitty.
Smitty, and how'd that game go? Droid player, so obviously good player.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He also played experimental, so it was the same thing. We played payload on the same table as I played on in game two, which is Joel's Hoth table. And that was a 2-1 on payload because he managed to get his Magna to stall for 2 turns on my payload and it just would not fail a save. I got it down to 1 single model and I think he saved, 8 saves in a row. And I didn't want to commit too much to it because it was just one model, but he kept saving. So he stole my payload 2 turns and then got the win. So that was it.
Nice one. Well, yeah, sounds like everyone had a really good tournament. I was playing a droid list. So I was playing 4 B2s with the HA gun of T-Series, super tactical droid Kraken, a unit of BX strikes, and I will go to my grave to say that the BX strike team with deflector shields is a great unit. Steve, they're great. They're great, Steve. Don't you dare.
I back it.
And then a unit of Magna Guard with a rocket. But the X factor was I actually brought in Poggle the Lesser with Electro Binox and a unit of Geonosian Warriors naked. First of all, Poggle the Lesser is a really crap commander. But having an extra unit in the list that can just give out one Electro Binox or can move 3 times in a single turn is great because he's got jump. It's his command cards, specifically the we make weapons, which is I can bring up to 3 full B2 units, so full B2 models, back from the grave. And the first game I brought back 2 of them, and the third game I brought back 3 of them.
And hang on, did you play in the third game that probably got filthy about that?
The third game, no, I had a buy again. Oh, sorry,
your second game where you brought the 3 back and someone probably got really filthy over it?
Oh, he wasn't filthy at all. No, so I played Mitch round 2. Mitch is one of Australia's, easily arguably one of Australia's best players until last Saturday. Let's just say that. but he, no, he... Yeah, he probably argued that he wasn't the great value, but I was really keen on it. And the Geonosian, the naked Geonosian squad, they sit at the back and they can move 3 times in a round if they need to. They've got that free jump and then move. Their whole thing is to just do objectives. The objective deck I have is intercept, recover, payload, and sab moisture evaporators. So obviously with Sabs, they can get their turn 1 and actually tap it. So at the start of round 2, I can have one thing double tapped, and they could even be on the way to the next one. Recover the supplies, you know, moving them in last, move, get, and then claim the objective for them first round next turn to move away. Intercept, they're just doing the back objective. You know what I mean? They're not giving a care in the world. Payload, I've got a bit of an interesting thing for them because they can triple move. They can lock down that payload if required. So, yeah, they're a really flexible unit in a list where I've got nothing but beef. Yeah, you got a lot of beef to get through, and they're super flexible. Curtis. Mm.
So, yeah, that's a really good thing with them because you're not – with your payload, sorry, specifically, that was the thing that triggered my thought process – was you can use them to either tie down your opponent's one if you need to be somewhere else, or you can use them to boost your own one if you can activate them late and they can just dive in on top to give you that one extra number to get that speed too. So that's pretty big, because what are they? Speed two, and they can jump as well.
Yeah, so they get a free jump during their turn. Doesn't have to be the first, second, or third. And then they can double move as well. So they're a very flexible unit. I don't really like them offensively. They did get a couple of good offensive shots off. So in my first game against Chris Colfax, shout out to Chris, part of ORR as well. And I was very worried going into this match because I've had like no practice. I had like one game against Curtis, which is that really practice, boys? You know, like, nah, I'm joking. And I had one other game. I know Chris has been practicing, so I thought this is going to be a quick game. He's going to smash me. He had the Inquisitors with him too. He had Agent Callus, Fifth Brother, Seventh Sister, and Bosk. So very like hero hammer kind of imperialist. I was a bit worried about it, and like we had a great game, but he came really close to my back objective, and here's this unit of Geonosians on top of a building. All right, well now they've got blast, four black, four white. I'm pretty sure they did a little bit of damage to his Seventh Sister too. So they actually got a little bit of value there too. They worked out really well as a back-capping objective unit. Very happy with them. But yeah, first game against Chris went really well. I really prioritized his Stormtroopers, taking down, you know, the easy-to-kill units before the rest of his team kind of came in. Fifth Brother and Seventh Sister, we're about to talk about the Inquisitors, but super scary. But until you can like kind of knock one out, it's not as scary. But yeah, they were great. My second game was against Mitch. As I said before, we had a great game. Mitch is always a fantastic opponent to play against. I'm better for playing him. I did eke out the win, which was really nice. Hopefully, makes him rethink his world list. Can't wait to hear about his world list too. But yeah, it was a really good game. It was the first time I've actually beaten Mitch, so I walked away the true winner of the day. You know what I mean? Steve next. But no, I feel good. People's champ. So speaking about Mitch, I reached out to a few of the players who ran Inquisitors and ran against Inquisitors and asked, were they fun to play? Did they feel strong? Are they dead on arrival? Mitch came back and said, look, they're a force user, which is always really good to have. He said they're very strong, but not from their direct abilities or damage. Their main strength is denying your opponent to play objectives. So this is Australia's best player kind of giving his feedback on the Inquisitors. And I asked him if they were DOA, and he said, dead on arrival. He said, absolutely not. But inexperienced players might struggle to get the value out of them. I would expect people who play clones to easily transition. And the struggle is what to pair them with. You know, I think that's a big question. And that was very consistent about the other people that I asked, is what do you actually pair them against? What do you put them with to get the benefit out of?
Yeah, I think the first thing I go to is the same thing that you and I thought of when both the IG assassination droids came out, which is Callus, because it's probably one of the best pieces to get an idea in your early games with them about which command cards work well when under a competitive circumstance, because Callus gives you that ability to put all their command cards in the bank, plus maybe one or two of his possibly, and you get that firsthand experience under pressure in a game what will work best when, rather than I have to leave this at home because I don't have space. Like, I can't take this because I've got this. So I think in your first reps, I think Callus is great, not because Callus himself is amazing. Like, you know, he serves a purpose, but it's purely because he allows them to try and shout the loudest that they can when they can, so you can understand where they fit best. And then after that, you adjust your list based on that. That would be my start place.
No, yeah, great point, absolutely. So Chris, one of the other players who played them, said, yeah, they're definitely not DOA, and I don't think they're OP either. Maybe an upcoming points rider might change that a little bit, and he's really keen to use them again in the future. Again, he's not sure what to put with them. So I think what we're going to see is probably at Worlds, one person do very well with a very specific list of Worlds, and then everyone's got to run that list for a while. I do have a very interesting story from one of our C4 minions, the Spaniard. So he versus Daniel. So Dan was running two of them. He actually ran them with force speed rather than force push, going a little bit against the meta, but yeah, Daniel is very known for that, C4 admin Daniel. And he said, so this is what Spaniard said. He said, before even beginning, as soon as the Inquisitors became legal, I swapped out my Maul Mando list, which has been very competitive, and he played a Yoda list. And he said, during the game, he thought Yoda would be able to handle an Inquisitor. Fifth Brother drove into the Spaniard's line, and he shut down Yoda's force push, and he shut down Yoda's barrier, and then survived a double attack from Yoda, only taking one wound, proving that the Inquisitor was better than Yoda. It seems crazy that Fifth Brother is a superior force Yoda than Yoda, the Grand Master of the Jedi Order. So Spaniard's kind of overall feedback was the units themselves are fine, but that Inquisitor's training just seems too good. All right, guys, is this the end of expensive force users? Or, you know, if you could shut down a force user like that, where are we thinking, Curtis?
Sorry, it's still up to dice variants. It's the same as launching a 50-50 attack pool with dice. It really is, because you still have to roll a dice to decide whether it works or not.
It's not 50-50, it's 4 out of 6, because it's any paint on a red.
Yeah, so but it's the same as
it's tech. It's a 66% chance.
But relying on it. If it's just a backup tech, if your game plan is already better than that backup tech, and the backup tech is just increasing the odds, okay, fine. But if it's that last-ditch effort because it's the thing that you've left and hinged your gameplay on because you haven't planned well, no. I wouldn't be hinging on it, because how often have you had Indomitable on a unit and still rolled a blank? Like, it still happens.
Joel, what do you think?
Well, I think I'd have to understand, are they stackable? Like, if I have Fifth Brother and Seventh Sister in range, is the Inquisitor training stackable? Has that been clarified yet?
No, it's only happening because you can only do the force power once.
Yep.
You're not rolling two dice. It's you are shutting it down.
Yeah, I just think it's way too cheap, and it either needs a points boost or it needs to be expendable. The fact that it can shut, like the Spaniard said, it just shuts down like a 220 point unit, like a 66% chance to completely neuter a quarter of your army points. It's just,
yeah.
There.
What about you, Nick? What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's not that bad, honestly. Like, the thing is that you need to be able to get into melee with another Jedi as them. And depending on who it is, if it's going to be a clone list, say, and you've got Anakin at the back, that's just going to be dishing out green tokens all game. You're probably not going to be running your Inquisitors at him. To be fair, though, Dan did tech specifically for Burst of Speed to get them across the field straight away. And for all we know, that might be something that people are going to start pulling out and using and utilizing. But I think this, it's, like Curtis said, I think it's chance to get it. It's 4 in 6, 66% chance, like you said. But also at the same time, like Joel said, is that increase the price of it if you think that's going to be an issue. Make it 7 points, make it 10 points or something. Because then do you want to run one or do you want to run both?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So like, I asked Dan, obviously when the Spaniard gave his scathing review, I had to reach out to our admin Dan. He said, cheap Jedi are definitely a lot of fun to play. The best part about these Jedi is the utility, the flexibility they can bring to your army with force powers. They change the way you approach an enemy or an objective. Having cheap access to that is a lot of fun and can turn your basic gun line into something chaotic for your opponent to deal with. They certainly felt strong. Seventh Sister seems to be the target for opponents aimed for. And while I didn't actually get to use them much, when they did get in to the opponent's lines, it felt great. Inquisitor training being the highlight versus Yoda for me. It was able to deny versus a force barrier and a force push. So 5 points seemed a bit wild, and a negative play experience for an opponent, when 20 points of force upgrades get shut down for a 5-point upgrade on Inquisitor. So yeah, there you go. My take is it's a hard ask because you've spent so much points on Yoda, and kind of what you just said, Curtis, as well, plan better. And that probably makes fair because now you do have an Inquisitor diverse, you need to plan out your force powers better. But the whole point of Yoda is, you know, he can do it. He's got a card that he can use twice in the game, which is his one pip, where he can use his force push twice in a turn. And like, you know, you might base your win off that. Yeah, he's 230 points. You know, you might be reliant on that double force push. And imagine just having that shut down. It's interesting to think about. Joel?
I think one of the main things too is that when they do shut down the force power, it stays tapped. So it's not like you get another crack of the title. So, I mean, it doesn't really affect Yoda that much because you get the Master of the Force to bring it back. But if you're someone who hasn't got Master of the Force and you tap that push, exactly. you don't even get it back. Like it's gone. And that's huge.
No, great point. Curtis?
Curious question. Could I tap Compel and Dauntless in the same activation? So say Fifth Brother activates Dauntless. Can I then activate Compel with Director Krennic in the same activation on Fifth Brother and double move him for free? Because I was just looking at like a commander to pair with
Fifth
Brother
and Seventh. No, because you sorry, yeah, okay, I get you. No, because you don't. So after a friend, so let's read them both. Compel, after a friendly unit at range 1 to 2 rallies, right? Mm-hmm. So it has to finish its rally step. Yep. If it is suppressed and not panicked.
Not panicked, yep.
It may gain a suppression to do a free move. Dauntless is after you rally, if you are suppressed but not panicked, you may gain 1 suppression token to perform a free move. You can only do one or the other.
Is that because there's only a limit to that in the rule set? Or is it because the timing
Great question. Becoming... We should probably...
Yeah, because I looked at that and I was like, that could be dirty because I looked at Krennic and his compel ability, being able to move one or the other for a free move to get them into that melee range a bit quicker as a surprise thing, almost like a tricky and more complex burst of speed sort of thing, if you get what I mean. Because if they can do that free move and then another normal move and then a move to attack...
Okay. Yeah, so here's the official thing from the forums. If you have questions like this, Curtis, or anyone listening, check the forums. Hello. Oh, I won't read out the whole thing, will I? You have read.
Hello there.
Dauntless is intended to have the same timing as Compel.
Yeah.
The suppression and free move will occur at the beginning of perform action step. That wasn't clear at all.
I think the only thing that makes it clear is the fact that they say it has the same timing, which means therefore you have to pick one or the other.
Yeah, so it's not stackable. Yeah,
that's my understanding too.
Yeah, that's the only way that it feels clear. If it was you choose which one to activate first, and if you're beyond range 2, then, you know, suck it up, deal with it, you can only do one. But yeah, to me that reads as pick one or the other, don't do both. Okay, cool.
That's we'll fair. Be happy to know that this will be made clear in a more future update.
Does it say that on the forum?
It genuinely says that. I swear to God.
Okay, good. Because right. that's a bit of a loophole. Like if they allow that to be applicable, if they allow you to activate both of those, that's nuts. 2 speed, 2 moves before you have your 2 normal actions would be bat crazy.
You don't even get one because you'd be suppressed and you gain 2 more suppression. So you just get... I mean, you're getting a double move, but you only get 1 action.
Still, that's 3 actions total. It's a double move to get to range and then do an attack or charge or something. It could be a clutch move, but I don't see it as being a game plan, if you get what I mean.
Moving on. Thank you for derailing this there, Curtis. You've really taken us off the rails there, Curtis. You really should park up.
It was relevant, though. What if someone asks that question later on? At least we've helped cover it. Now anyone who listens to the podcast and then tries it later, we tell them to get lost.
Exactly. Good. Bugger them.
Now, are you done with your Inquisitors? Or you've got anything left to say?
No, I'm done. I'm done with the Inquisitors. That's my.
And we're going to move on to our listener questions. We've got three listeners who have thrown questions down for us. If you would like to write a listener question, ignore our email at roundsrup@gmail.com because Adam is quite saddened by the fact that no one sent love letters to him when Flanders and Pablo and I requested people to do it. He's not very happy about that. But you can always you can also join our Discord. And you can write us listener questions there. We do try to pop up a reminder each time we're a few days out from a recording. First question we have from Samuel McKay. He says, does Cody synergize with anyone? What vehicles would you like to take with Cody? What kind of list do you expect Cody to fit in? Hope this isn't too much. Lol. Thanks, Sam.
It's too much.
Look, Cody, I've had a look at Cody. Personally, I'm not sure which way I would go with him.
I think the important context to add to the beginning of this is that Sam is a very, 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 very new player.
Right, yeah, fair call. Well, I'm very, very new to Cody too, Sam. I haven't used him at all yet. The first thing I've gone with, and I know these three blokes are going to disagree with me, I'm going with a triple ATS, ATRT list with Cody. And the idea is to just use it so the ATRTs can be punchy on the way in with Cody's support. And then once I get there, or once I get to a prime position, I can use the ranged attacks from there. That's me theory crafting, though. I haven't actually used that list yet. Joel, you're the other Gar player here who's probably got a lot more brain for this than me. What would you say?
Well, I've used Cody a fair bit. I use him with Cody Obi-Wan, Cody on his own, Cody with Rex. I've used Cody with Anakin. I find he does a lot of cool things, but not everything really good. Like, he has the direct vehicle, which is good. You do the comms relay trick, so he's like an expensive clone commander. He's a very, very, very good fire support target. Like the fact he's got surge to crit, lethal one, impact one on his range four guns. He's fantastic. I find that he's a very support commander. Like when I have him on his own, he can't run the ship. And I find I'm not really too keen on playing his command cards. Like when I run him with Obi-Wan, I was predominantly only running these two pip because I found like his three pip and his one pip because I would have like either a mud boat or an ATRT just common relay in the order off anyway. But then when I had a Padme, I wanted a Padme two pip because I wanted that extra move. So he just literally became a fire support platform, which like I said, he's very, very good fire support platform. He's got that impact one. He's got that pierce one. I usually run mine with portable scanner because if he's not shooting, at least he's already got take cover one, so he can be a double dodge and then take a shot because he gets a name when he gets the order anyway. I rarely use his observe because if he's at range three, he's going to die. You want to keep him at range four with like the range three is death saying for Cody. Very, very, I'm just repeating myself, very, very good fire support person, but as a standalone commander, I found he struggled a fair bit.
Did we just lose Joel?
Hey, Joel.
You there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
There you
go. So you were just about to say, as a standalone commander, and do like your final statement.
As a standalone commander, I find that he struggles, but as a support commander with somebody else, I find him as a very, very, very good fire support platform.
Hmm. Vehicle-wise, if you're going to run vehicles with him to maybe make most of it, what's that vehicle you're probably running with him? Is it the ATRT just because it's a nice cheap one that's like a cover supplying unit, line of sight blocking unit? Or
yeah, I had more success. I tried the mudboat thing. They're just too expensive and they don't do enough. So the ATRT, I do like the laser cannon, having that impact three at range four when darks are in the meta, but seeing darks kind of drop off a bit. With heavy cover, you're not really going to be shooting that at range four. So just having a common relay on that to give to your core or to another commander, I found to be the best way.
Nice. Adam, you got anything you'd like to add?
Cody's really hard. He definitely has all the keywords, and that's lots of fun. He's with, if you give a portable Sienna to a clone commander, he is 39 more points for one more health, a worse direct, a better gun, and surge crit. Probably not worth, like, jump one as well. Jump one's just not even that good, really.
So, sorry, are you comparing him to a standard clone commander? You're saying that for 39 points less, you could get a standard clone commander with similar stuff portable rather scanner. Than the gun and
with
the,
portable, yeah. With portable scanner and a better direct. I think you should play him, especially if you're new, and, you know, bring one vehicle, kind of like what Curtis said, with the laser cannon, ACRT with laser cannon, and kind of then just the rest just troops. So you've got a really nice, easy bag to pull from. The ACRT is getting an order every turn, which is fun, and kind of play it like that, and, yeah, kind of get that big shot off with him. You know, aim for, like, one good fire-supported shot. You know, because he does have, yeah, 3-pip and a 2-pip, which gives out lots of orders. So, yeah, you can do it. You can fire support with him. Depending on what you bring, though, you might not even bring his 3-pip or his 2-pip, though, if you don't have Obi-Wan or whatever. I don't know. Cody... Cody maybe needs to come down in points. Maybe Kobe needs to come down 10, 20 points.
Yeah, because what is he? 105 total. Yeah.
105.
Nick, you had any experience with Cody at all, or this is a pass for you?
Yeah, I've only versed Cody, and it's been a bit hit and miss with the people trying to experiment what does and does not happen. So I feel I don't have that much to contribute to this.
Well, on that point, Adam, would you like to take the next one from Jeff Vader?
Love to. I'd love to find that document. Okay, here we go. What's your world's prediction for top faction or even top list? Will it be an Aussie who can make the top spot? Will it be an Aussie top eight? Okay, first of all, Empire's going to win Worlds 2024. The top list will not have an Inquisitor in it. An Aussie will make the top eight. Mitch is going to make top eight. And Wookiee is also going to make top eight.
I backed that on Johnny, yeah, actually.
Johnny's going to make top eight.
He's been training like a fiend. He just gives me that real, you know, I'm hungry for it feel. And the guy is so focused on his list, and he's played it so often, he's so well hearsed in it. Yeah, I feel pretty, I'm getting freaking shivers talking about it because I feel that confident about it. I can feel it happening. My prediction,
he's gonna make top eight at the side event. He's gonna make top eight at the side event for sure.
Jackass. He's gonna is that just because he's grilled cheese. So I'm going to go Rebels. I'm going to go Cassian for the faction slash list. And I'm going to say, yeah, top. And I reckon an Aussie, I've got confidence that an Aussie will make it up into that top cut.
Top eight. Joel, what about you, mate?
I think Gar's going to win it. And I think it's going to be the Wookiee Battle Force. I reckon someone's going to do all right. Whether it's the Wombat, I don't know, but I honestly think the Wookiees, there's a play there. They're very, very good.
Oh, I swear to God, if Johnny makes it, it's going to be bigger than State of Origin in this country for the Legion
players. I'm just saying, it's going to be Gar. It's going to be a Wookiee Battle Force. Whether it's Johnny or not, I don't know, but I would
love that. It's my son's first birthday that weekend. I would probably have it running in the background if I knew that Johnny made it to the freaking final.
Well, I'm backing in Pete. You want Mitch? I'm backing in the old Zyconia. He's going to get up there.
Flanders.
Nick.
I think Ewoks are going to do it. 14 act Ewoks.
Ooh. Look at us with the bloody fruit salad of a spread of prediction. Holy cow. We've got Empire, we've got Rebels, we've got Ewoks, and then we've got Gar. Hmm. All right, there you have it. Do you reckon an Aussie will make the top 8 or not, Nick? You didn't say that. Yeah. Or have you got no faith in our guys?
No, I think Mitch will. I think Mitch definitely will. I actually think Matt will as well.
Mm. Oh, surprise.
Yeah, actually, Matt has been performing really well with, you know, with his preferred battle force and the things that he's got built. So
yeah, I was going to say what he plans to run, what I talked to him about, but I'm not going to. So
yeah, no, he plays it. I had to remind myself at that point in time, don't say anything. He runs what he runs really well. He's got a good brain for the game, but he also has fun too, and that's great as well. So like he reps us great when he goes over there because he has a bit of fun with it. Last one. Joel, did you want to take us out with the last question, seeing as you're one of our guests and it would be nice to give you a little more talk time, seeing as Nick gets it every week?
Oh, I don't mind, but I guess I should open up the thing.
Let me find that document.
Sorry, I had to accept my shift. So we got one from the man I just plugged the big top 8 in the world is Pete himself. What is the best army to play if you're not playing on chess clocks? And you want a fast game versus a slow 3-turn game.
I gave you this question for a reason. I didn't want to have to say this.
I'll answer it. I'll answer
and explain it.
If you want a really, really quick game and a real fun list to play, look up Lila Clare's Imperial Sons. I was playing that for a while and it was a bloody hoot. It's a Emperor Palpatine team with Burst, Push, Underworld Connections, and Barrier. Then you got 3 sets of Black Suns, all with the Vigo, all with Recon, 2 with the Frag and the Magdet, and the other one with the Impact Grenades and the Shotgun, and 3 Snow Troopers with Medbots and the Blast Grenades and Recon Intel, and 1 Raw Guard with Recon Intel. So it's just 8x, and it's just... You have a 6-point bid, so you get to play your deck most of the times, and it's just like payload up close, and there nothing makes you feel better than getting Black Suns to shoot 2 times around. It's fantastic. And if you want a quick game, you'll have a win or you'll lose quick, but it's a fantastic list to play.
To the pub. What would be sort of a style of list that you'd play if it was going to end up being like a slow 3-turn game?
Probably any.
I don't think you should take. I don't think you should take any. I don't think you should take any list to be a 3-turn game.
Yeah, I think it's a bad mentality to think about out loud because realistically, it's a bad play experience.
I mean, realistically, you just want to push W and go for it.
Yeah.
That's just the question. I'm
if you are worried about the speed of your game, you should really be looking at what units you're actually playing and then simplifying that. So if you're having a slow game, but you've got lots of different size bases and all your units are different, and you should really be looking at kind of simplifying the list, maybe running... 4 units of B2s, all of them have the HA and T series because it's the same shit. I'm not being smart. I'm actually being serious because they're all.
No, I laugh because that's what you like to run because it's like, I know what I'm doing. I have my game plan. It either wins or it loses either way, but at least I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the list I just said with that Suns list because you've got auto control every round because you've got 1 commander, 6 core, and 1 special forces. So you've always got auto control.
True. Very true. Good point to make, actually.
Yeah. It's quick and it's simple. You just walk forward and shoot. If that's what you want, that's just answering the question.
Yep. Can't disagree. I agree. An archetype similar to that, 100%.
It's fun. It's very fun.
Nick or Adam, you guys got anything additional to add, or do you guys think like similar archetypes are pretty much the way to go to like what Joel just said?
I'd say so, but also at the same time with me, I have genuinely no idea how to answer this because I'm such a competitive person. I don't know why you'd slow play.
Unless, well, yeah. No, I'm not going to say the unless because I don't want to promote that idea. But yeah, you kind of want to be getting those objective points. Adam, you got anything to add to sort of Joel's idea of like, you know, that punchy, maybe potential double tapping archetype where it just, you know, you throw lots of dice and you either roll average to high and destroy your opponent or roll average to low and die along the way quickly?
No.
Right, nice. Nothing to add.
Sorry. Nothing to add.
There is zero secret sauce with your burger.
What's the rule with improv? You always say yes and. So yes, I do have an idea, and it's a good one.
Followed with a bad suggestion. No offense. Look,
if there's anyone who needs to learn how to play Quitter, it's Peter. So hopefully he listens here and brings home the bacon with some faster lists.
Yeah, man. Get to those bargain stalls as quick as you can between rounds. Like, that's the idea. I reckon that's why he asked his question. I reckon he's like, do these guys have like their finger on the pulse of anything that's fast so I can finish my first round really, really quick? And then get to the bargain stalls, load up, and then after that, I don't care if I have to play a slow game. All right. Anything else to add, guys, or do you reckon we can call it a wrap?
Get us out of here, Curtis.
All right. And with that, we are out of time for this week's Rounds Are Up podcast. I'd like to thank Adam, Joel, and Flanders for helping host this episode. Thank you, fellas.
Pleasure.
You're welcome,
You're welcome.
And thank you everyone else for listening wherever you are. Come and find us at the welcoming and helpful C4 Discord page, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube streams to come. We've got some things in mind. Links are in the show notes. Take care, roll well, and as always, C4.
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 Thank you all for listening to the Rounds Are Up podcast by C4 Squad. Make sure to give us a review on your platform of choice and hope all of your rolls are natty crits. Thank you and goodbye.